You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast. Here with William Hill, each and every week we look at the televised games in the Premier League with one of the top football writers in the land, and this week is no different. We have Steve Bates, the chief football writer for the Sunday People, on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Steve.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, good to be with you.
We start with some bad news, Steve. The passing of Graham Taylor, who was an incredible football manager, and at just the age of 72, Steve, sad news today.
It is very sad news, not least of all because Graham was, as well as being a good football manager and a good football man, he was also a very decent man as well, greatly liked by a lot of my colleagues in the game. Even though, you know, perhaps he got a bit of a rough ride, people will remember as England manager. And his career maybe suffered for a while because of that, but always a really decent man. Whenever you bumped into him, he was a really upstanding guy. Didn't bear any grudges whatsoever about his treatment when he was England boss, even though some managers might have felt that was a bit over the top at the end. But, Graham was a lovely guy, always had a word for you, always had a smile. And as I say, was a great football man, greatly respected by everybody. And I think you can see the outpouring of warmth towards him since this news became public knowledge. Just shows you how highly regarded he was by everybody.
I think sometimes people forget that, given his poor spell with England, how good a club manager Graham Taylor was.
Well, he was an excellent club manager, you know, at places like Watford and Aston Villa. He was a good coach. He had good views on the game. He was very much a player's manager. You know, he kind of was not a dictator in that respect. You know, he always kind of tapped into his players and empathised with them and the job that they had to do for him. So he really was. He was a great guy and a football man, as I say. And, from my perspective, his father was a journalist back in Scunthorpe, where I think Graham grew up. His father was a sports journalist for a paper in Scunthorpe. So he often had a good idea and a good understanding and a good knowledge of how our business worked. And he got it, if you like, you know, whereas perhaps many managers don't, but Graham did. He always sympathised sometimes with the jobs we had to do and the way we had to do our job. But, he always understood really that that was the way we did our job.
Let's talk about the Premier League this weekend. And we're going to go through the live televised matches. And we start at White Hart Lane with Tottenham versus West Brom. 1-3 Spurs to win this game. The draw 4-1 with West Brom in the market at 10-1. The enhanced odds, Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win, was 11-10. That's been boosted to 6-4. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 14-1. That's now in the market at 20-1. And Dele Alli has been the man for Spurs in the last month or so, Steve. Scored 6 goals in his last 3 games for Spurs.
Yeah.
Heavily odds on to win this game at 1-3. But West Brom have looked good this season under Tony Pulis as well.
They've done really well. And, there's been a marked improvement, I think, in some of West Brom's performances and results. They've got a good basis, a good strong squad there. Players like, Darren Fletcher, Johnny Evans, 2 former Manchester United players who have come in and brought added experience and know-how to how Tony Pulis wants to set up and play. And they are sort of the odds are stacked against them to win this game. But Spurs have only won 1, I believe, of their last 7 Premier League matches against West Brom, drawing 5 and losing 1. But then the Baggies have only collected 1 win at White Hart Lane, I believe, in the Premier League. All point towards a Tottenham win on this one, I think.
How do you rate Tottenham's season so far? Because Mauricio Pochettino has obviously been influential at Spurs already. And I think the fans are looking for them to take that next step, aren't they? Inside the top four last season, but early exit from the Champions League this campaign. They want the title. Are they close enough? Have they got the personnel there to challenge Chelsea?
I think they're just a bit short, to be honest, in kind of squad depth. They do seem to suffer sometimes with not having a real creative superstar. I know Christian Eriksen does do the business for them in that respect, and Dele Alli popped up with the goals, but I think sometimes they are just a little lacking when you try to compare them with some of the top teams. You know, Arsenal have got perhaps an Ozil and a Sanchez. Chelsea have got an Eden Hazard and a Costa. Mm. You know, I think Tottenham are just kind of lacking slightly in that kind of superstar department, if you like. But they're very close. And, you know, they're unbeaten at White Hart Lane this season, winning 8 of the 10 sort of league games there. So, you know, they are a threat. There's no doubt about it. They're on the longest unbeaten start to a Premier League campaign at home since 2001. So, you know, they're going well. The stats back them up. It's just whether they can now push on in the second half of the season and really try to close in on Chelsea.
What's the prediction for this match?
I think it's got to be a Spurs win. I know West Brom are doing well, but I would definitely say that Spurs will sneak this one. Only by the odd goal, I would say.
If you're looking at Spurs to win 1-0, that's 11-2. 2-1 to Spurs is available at 8-1 here with William Hill as well. Let's move on to the King Power. Leicester versus Chelsea is the tea time kickoff on Saturday, 5:30. Leicester 9-2 to win this game. The draw 16-5. Chelsea in the market at 8-13. This could be champions versus champions elect here. Leicester City, amazing season last term, and maybe not the title defence people were expecting. They haven't been good in the league, but their best performance came at the King Power against Manchester City early on this season, where they attacked City from the get-go in that match. I just wonder whether they'll try and do the same against Chelsea and really go after them in that opening 15 minutes.
Well, it did work for them, didn't it, against City? We saw that. They looked very potent that day. Obviously, Vardy scored his hat-trick, I think, as well that day. You know, Leicester still have got the ability to do that to teams. It's just that we haven't seen it very much this season. It's a real kind of puzzle, really. They've just kind of dropped right off the pace in the Premier League, yet they're going well in Champions League football. But, you know, this will be, I suspect, a match where they'll want to sort of relay down their kind of title, their credentials as champions, if you like, against a team who look as though they are going to be champions in Chelsea. It's not going to be easy for Chelsea. I wouldn't have thought at the King Power, but they have won 3 of their last 4 league visits to Leicester. So, you know, history is on their side in that. But if Leicester can summon up some kind of a performance that could match the one they gave against Manchester City, then they can certainly give Chelsea a few headaches on Saturday.
Do you think that's been the big factor, Champions League football? The likes of Riyad Mahrez wanting to impress on the world scene and maybe get a big move in the summer?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, obviously Kante left, they've missed him greatly. Mahrez decided to stay, as did Vardy. But the vibe hasn't quite been the same, has it, at Leicester this season? You know, right from the start when they lost on the opening day to Hull, things have basically gone from bad to worse. And it's almost as if, Dave, they don't believe that they are champions and don't believe that they could ever sort of match up to that kind of billing anymore, which is strange, seeing most of the players are still the same, and obviously Claudio Ranieri is still the same, and they appear to be playing in pretty much the same way. You know, people did think they were going to lose all of their big names, but that's not happened. You know, you have to say that if they had have lost Mahrez and Vardy as well, they probably couldn't have done much worse than they have done this season, because, you know, it's been one to forget for them so far. But, you know, we're only halfway there, and maybe a win against Chelsea could sort of be the catalyst for something better for them.
I wonder what sort of reception N'Golo Kante is going to get at the King Power on Saturday. I'm sure it will be a good one, because he was talismanic in their title-winning season. What's the prediction for this game then?
Do you know, I think I can, the way Chelsea are going, and that obviously they had that recent loss to Spurs, I think they'll be anxious and very, very determined to get back to winning ways again. And I can see a Chelsea victory here at Leicester on Saturday evening.
8-13 Chelsea to win that game. On to Sunday's TV games, and we start with Everton versus Manchester City at Goodison. Everton 7-2 to win this game. The draw is in the market at 13-5, with Manchester City 5-6. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And at Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win was 6-4. That's been boosted to 2-1. Everton without a win in their last seven matches against Manchester City. And I think Manchester City's demise has been vastly overplayed in the media to a certain extent anyway, Steve, because they're not doing badly, are they? I know it's taken a little bit of time for Pep Guardiola to maybe instill his methods onto this Manchester City side, but they don't seem that far off.
No, they're not. And, you know, when you have a manager like Pep Guardiola in charge, every defeat is magnified because nobody expects Pep Guardiola and his teams to lose matches. Certainly in his time at Bayern Munich and Barcelona, he didn't lose many. But I think Pep Guardiola is getting used to life in English football now and realising that, you know, he's not going to have it so easy as he did in Munich and in Barcelona. This is a completely different league. It's super competitive. Teams don't lie down. There are no gimmies. There are no easy games. And I think you know, Pep Guardiola's learning that as he goes along. But I do think you're quite right, Dave. City's kind of demise has been greatly exaggerated, I feel. You know, they proved recently. In their last outing at West Ham, they had a really good thumping 5-goal victory. Although that was in the FA Cup, not in the league, of course. But you know, it just shows the damage they can do to teams when they're on the game. You know, Everton usually at home present a much stiffer kind of task than probably West Ham presented to City. But as you say, they're winless in the last seven Premier League games against Man City. So, you know, that's a record that they will definitely want to improve. But of course, as you say, if Romelu Lukaku can get himself amongst the goals and get himself amongst that City defence, which is notoriously sort of unreliable at times, then maybe Everton can have some joy.
I just wonder about Everton without Idrissa Gueye, because he has been a stalwart for them in the early part of the season, and he's now with Senegal in the African Cup of Nations. That's a big loss for them.
It is a major loss because, you know, he's been their defensive shield, if you like. He breaks play up in midfield. He's energetic. They will definitely miss that. But City, of course, are without Fernandinho as well. He's a similar type player for them as Gueye is for Everton. He's suspended, obviously, after his sending off against Burnley. So, you know, both managers will have to do a bit of shuffling in midfield. But I think with the firepower that City have got, the creative talent and ability in that squad, in that team, you know, I think the odds favour City in this one.
City 5-6 to win the match. Do you think Sergio Aguero will be at Manchester City next season?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, obviously, quite a bit was made of some comments earlier this season between him and Guardiola that kind of seemed to put a question mark over his long-term future at City, with Guardiola wanting to play a slightly different game and a slightly different way to Aguero is used to. But look, when you look at Aguero's goal-scoring ability, look at the number of goals he's scored, look at the type of goals he's scored, there are very few strikers in the world game as good as him. And I can't think for a moment that City or Guardiola wouldn't want to let him go. And I would imagine for Everton on Sunday, he's going to be the major danger man. If you can stop Aguero, you're halfway towards stopping City, really.
The big match this weekend, undoubtedly at Old Trafford, Manchester United versus Liverpool. Manchester United 23-20 to win the game. The draw 9-4 with Liverpool in the market at 11-4. Enhanced odds, Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 11-5, now 3-1. And Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. This is always one of those games that start of the season if you're a neutral, you mark out on the calendar and think, this might be kind of feisty. It's going to be a good indicator of where these two sides are at. And Manchester United favourites to win the game. And every time I come into a big match involving Jose Mourinho, Steve, I think this is the time that he's going to play open, expansive football. And it never, ever happens. He sets up defensively. And just his first focus is do not concede in games of this magnitude.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're spot on there. I mean, United have been playing a more expansive game recently. You know, they've been creating a lot of chances, having a lot of attempts on goal. But then that's not been against Liverpool. When you tend to play, United tend to play Liverpool and Chelsea and City and Arsenal, then Mourinho does revert to a more conservative game plan. We saw in October when he took his team to Anfield and it ended up 0-0. You know, he had a very, very kind of strong game plan that didn't really involve much attacking football, but it certainly involved a lot of defending and a lot of shutting down space and a lot of hard work to try to prevent Liverpool slipping into the kind of stride that they can do. And when they do that, they're very dangerous. He'll be anxious, of course, to have such, you know, a defensive shield on Sunday. But the onus, of course, with the United always at Old Trafford is to go on the attack, and especially against Liverpool when the fans will want them to win this game. It won't be gung-ho from the start, I don't feel, but I think United will have more of an attacking edge and an attacking threat than they had at Anfield back in that goalless draw in October.
They are 5 points behind Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
You said the onus is on Manchester United. If they are to win the title, this is a game I think they've got to win, isn't it?
They haven't. You know, I think, Dave, it would make a statement if they did win it. You know, they're definitely on the march a bit now. Results have improved. They've gone on a long unbeaten run, I think, of 9 straight wins, I think it is now. Unbeaten in 14. So the signs are all there that United are improving, and I think the target at Old Trafford is certainly the first target is to make sure they manage to get into the Champions League. If anything beyond that is possible, then they're going to have to win the game against Liverpool on Sunday because I think the difference between sort of them doing that and not sort of making a challenge is basically how they do against the bigger sides. They got thumped by Chelsea earlier in the season. They've drawn at Anfield. They lost to Manchester City, of course, at Old Trafford at the start of the season. So United haven't got a brilliant record against the sides above them at the moment, but, you know, they can start to put that right on Sunday.
Do you think this is a good time to be meeting Liverpool as well? Liverpool without a winning three. They've lost Sadio Mane to the African Cup of Nations. He's obviously been influential in the early part of the season. And even though Philip Coutinho's back and he played in that loss against Southampton in the League Cup on Wednesday night, still maybe not fully sharp and match fit.
No, he won't be fully firing yet, as you say, quite rightly. And they will miss Sadio Mane. Looks like Jordan Henderson will be out of that game as well. So they will be missing a couple of their big game players who are capable of causing sort of problems in those type of matches. So, yeah, I think, you know, the odds slightly favour United, as you you outlined at the start of this discussion about this match. The odds slightly favour United. But, of course, you know, you can never really tell in these matches, such as the cutthroat nature of the rivalry between these two sides. Absolutely, it will be a war on the pitch and a fight to the bitter end. But I think United, if they want to make a statement and show that they have intent to make a really big challenge in the second half of the season, then this is a game they must win.
Are you going with Manchester United to win it?
I'm going to take a slight advantage for United by only a goal. I think whether it be 1-0, 2-1, I don't think there'll be much in it. But I suspect United will have enough just and home advantage to edge home and win.
Manchester United to win the game 1-0, available at 7-1. Manchester United to win the game 2-1, available at 15-2. Steve, are you attending any live games this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be working at the Leicester-Chelsea game on the Saturday evening down at Leicester. And then I'll be going along to watch the United-Liverpool game on Sunday.
Sounds like a good weekend to me.
It does.
Steve, enjoy the football. If you want to check out Steve on Twitter, it's @SBates_people. And you can follow myself @DKellner. Check out all the football betting odds here at William Hill by going to williamhill.com and clicking on the football tab. Enjoy it this weekend, folks. If you're betting on the Premier League here with William Hill, the very best of luck. Thank you for your company, Steve.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's listened and tuned in. Check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com, and we'll be back with the FWA podcast next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.